But honestly, for me, this wasn't the most interesting part. I liked watching when the snake began to shed its skin. Now, it's a really, really slow process. In fact, if you just stare at the snake moment by moment, it would seem that progress isn't made, so you have to hyperlapse that thing and look from one moment in time to another moment in time, and you can see that the progress, the growth. Now, a snake will shed its skin for a couple of reasons. The first is obvious, is because it's growing. In order to fit in that new waistline, it's got to put off the old and put on the new. But I read this week that as snakes begin to age, something different starts to take place in their life, is that they don't shed their skin because they're growing. They shed it because parasites have a way of attaching on the outside, and as a way to keep the parasites on the outside from getting on the inside, they will shed. So sometimes they put off the old self and put on the new self because they're growing and getting bigger and stretching. And other times they put off the old self and put on a new self because of health and vitality, to be renewed in life. We might call this process detoxing. A time where we will put off the old self and put on the new self because God is calling us to grow and to stretch and to become more than we've ever been. But in order to do that, there's some things we have to get rid of, we have to detox from. Now there's others who the biggest struggle is not growing bigger or better or more. The biggest struggle is staying fresh in a relationship with God. And what happens over time is that toxins that we don't even know are there, but just in case they're there, we assume they get into our life. Bad habits come on, not necessarily sinful, but they're not helpful. And we say, I have to detox. I have to put off some old ways so that I can grow in a new way with Christ. And so this is what it means to detox. As followers of Christ, this is a necessary way of life. In fact, this is not optional. If we stop growing, if we stop putting off the old self, at some point, we will stop being a follower of Jesus Christ. At some point. Tell you the truth, I don't know when that point is. In fact, the church is split denominationally over when that point of time is. But what we're trying to do is to prevent that point from happening. God is always working in our life, and in order to accommodate, sometimes we have to make space, and sometimes we simply have to get rid of some bad habits. See, the message of Christ is always the same to all of His followers. Come on up the mountain. What's your step? It's a steep incline up to the Sermon on the Mount. But get out, if you're old-fashioned, your pen and paper. If you're new-fashioned, that should be a term, because we say old-fashioned. If you're new-fashioned, get out your iPads or your computer. Get ready to take notes, because the classroom of Christ, the process of detox, is now in session and is ready to begin. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Would someone please raise their hand and ask Jesus, and what are we supposed to do with that? One student would say, "Now Jesus, as you were speaking, I was typing in Microsoft Word, and the red little squiggly line came up, and there's some auto corrections. Let me read them back to you, Jesus. Here they are. Blessed are the rich, for they work hard to acquire their good fortune. Blessed are those who do not play the sympathy card and accept handouts from no one. Blessed are the powerful, for they will inherit by force the goods of the poor. Blessed are those who aspire and accumulate more and bigger and better, for they will be called successful." This is it. "Blessed are those who enforce the rules, for they'll never be taken advantage of. Blessed are those who take up arms, for they will be called citizens of America. Blessed are those who play it safe and don't take the Jesus thing too seriously. After all, we have to live and work and go to school and shop in this world." There, Jesus, that should about cover it. Jesus? You there? Did you catch what I said? That's close, right? I mean, that's what you meant. Jesus, text emoji, hand in face, send to the church. Okay, Jesus, all right. Why don't you repeat it again? Slower. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Yeah, I still don't get it either, do you? Oh, wait, I know. Jesus is doing that trick. He does it, he calls them, parables. Yeah. He's speaking in terms that we can interpret. That's what this is. So, okay, here's the deal. I've been preaching for, 10 minutes maybe. Let's just quit. Let's just go home. Let's go out to eat and have some lunch. Let's think about these things we've heard. And not actually apply them, because we don't understand them. And so if we don't understand them, we don't actually have to apply them. So let's not live them out, but let's come back next week. And I know what we can do. We can go week by week and take each petal of the rose apart and decipher what each one means. That's what we should do. Yeah. I think that's probably it. This time Jesus sends a Snapchat, just a picture of a rose. And then he goes on Instagram, so you've got to have both of Jesus' accounts. and in his storyline shares the quote, "The Beatitudes are like roses. We learn much by observing them, but when you start to break off each petal, you destroy the beauty." See, the Beatitudes are not singular, they are plural. And as soon as we pick one out of the bunch, it loses its power and its beauty. This is not applications for life. This is life. You see, the Beatitudes are less like a tied to-go pen. There you go, honey. I know I have one amen. You probably have a tied-to-go pen in your purse today, don't you? Oh, you didn't disappoint. You know what I'm talking about, the tied-to-go pens? When you get a stain on and you take the tied-to-go pen and you rub it off. You see, we take a beatitude and we look at our life and we see the stains and we say, oh, that's where I've spilled and failed. So I need a little meekness this week, and we take it and try and wipe it off. Oh, you know, I'm not. We go through the line at the store and realize that we don't really need that item, so we're going to practice being the poor in spirit this week by saying no to, you know, another 12-pack of soda or whatever we want. And we say, oh, I'm being poor in spirit this week. Oh, yeah. You know that person who never does anything right? And so you're just going to take back the task from them this week. And then we go, oh, yeah, wait, we're supposed to be meek and empower other people and give our power away. So I tell you what, this week I'll do it right. Next week we'll go back to normal. We get the little tide pin on. Except here's what we realize. There are some stains that a tide pin can't take out. In fact, mostly all tide pins do, my wife may kind of say this isn't true. I think it just covers them up. There is no way to me that it can take all of the stain out of the clothes. It's just meant to at least take it down so it's not so noticeable. It's just to cover it up. So that when it goes through the washing machine, the stain that's still in the shirt, you just can't see it, can actually come out of the shirt. So what we like to do with the Beatitudes is just use them as a blanket. To cover it up. Make us feel good for a while, but the truth is nothing ever really changes. Because the longer we try and take the Beatitudes and apply them, the more we're going to fail. And we're just going to say, wow, that way of living in this world, it just doesn't work. Because it doesn't. But the Beatitudes are more like the spin cycle on our washing machine. It's not something that only cleans one part of the stain and only cleans one part of the clothes. Instead, when we wash clothes, we take a bunch of them together, don't we? And we throw them into the mix. And together in the mix of the rinsing and the washing and the agitating where it, you know, real shakes. It's meant to rub up against each other to break all that stain loose so that it, when it comes out, the stain isn't just covered up, but it's actually gone and it's removed. You see, the teachings of Jesus are not something that we can just intend to obey. They're not something that we can hope to one day achieve. They require our obedience today. And so they're not just something that we add to our life. No, they're something that we must rearrange our life for. What I'm trying to say is, we have the wrong spin cycle. You know, certain clothes require a certain spin cycle, except when I'm doing laundry. It all stays on normal, baby. But you know, if you have heavy loads, you change the spin cycle. I'm getting some nose in the back. That's right. That's what you're supposed to do. If the clothing is more delicate, you change it. If it's just a little bit, you'll change the time. You have to change the spin cycle because it changes the outcome. What I'm saying is we have to change our spin cycle. We have to change the way of life, the way that we live. Oh, this isn't easy. This isn't easy. It's a good thing the Super Bowl's tonight or you'll all be depressed when you go home. You see, we have to change from the spin cycle of independence to the spin cycle of dependence. The American way is independence, isn't it? Because we have the declaration of independence. This is how we're raised, isn't it? We're raised in the world to be independent. In fact, we raise our kids this way, and if we fail at anything else, we say, well, at least they're independent and they're good in the world. That's what we say. We teach everybody, don't depend on, girls may be taught this way, don't depend on no man. Do it your way. Men, we're just better off with women in our lives. Amen? Yeah, yeah. We're taught, don't depend on any company to provide your income. You look out for you. You let them worry about their own selves. You don't worry about other kids. You worry about yourself. Don't worry about other kids' homework. You worry about your homework. Don't worry about someone else on the team getting to play more or becoming a better player than you. You worry about becoming better. Independent, independent, independent. Independence is a parasite that intoxicates our soul from being dependent on God. Independence is an American way, but it is not the Christian way. To be poor in spirit, to mourn, to be meek, to hunger and thirst, they're all declarations of dependence. We do not have to be poor to be dependent. We can trust God with our riches and still declare that our dependence is on Him. But if we are poor, we can declare our dependence on God. We don't have to mourn to depend on the comfort of God's presence. We can know the comfort of God's presence even in the midst of celebrations of life. But if we are mourning, we can know God's presence and His comfort. We don't have to be hungry and thirsty to be filled with God's righteousness. In fact, our stomachs can be full, our thirst can be quenched, our refrigerators can be packed, and yet we can still be people who seek to know what is right and do what is right in the world according to God's Word. But if we are hungry and if we are thirsty, rest assured, God will fill us with the right things. You see, we must detox from a spin cycle of independence to a spin cycle of dependence. The Beatitudes, they always call us out of our individual circles. And they call us into one circle. The community where Jesus Christ and Christ alone is the center. You see, it's impossible for us to be merciful unless there is one among us who has shown us mercy. It is impossible for us to be pure in heart unless there is one among us that is pure. It is impossible for us to be peacemakers unless there is one among us who is the Prince of Peace. It's impossible for us to be persecuted for righteousness unless there is one among us that has been persecuted for our sake. You're picking up what I'm putting down, right? There is one community in which Jesus Christ is center. Because Jesus Christ is poor in spirit. Because He gave up the riches of heaven to become like us. Jesus Christ does mourn because He knows what it's like to lose. Jesus Christ is meek because He submitted to the power of this world. He knows what it is to hunger and thirst. He knows what it is to be merciful and to be pure in heart. And He knows what it is to show peace, that even when one of His own disciples wanted to fight the soldiers war for war, He instead healed the man whom the ear was cut off. He is the way of peace. And the only way for us to live these out is if we declare our dependence on God. And guess what happens? When we declare our dependence on God, our individual circles are erased. And there is only one community, and that's the one in which Jesus Christ is center. You see, blessings, the Beatitudes, only come through the community. Go back and read it. It's all plural language until you get to verse 11. It doesn't say, blessed are the poor in spirit, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say, blessed are me, blessed am I when I mourn, for I will be comforted. No, blessed are we when we mourn. You see, there is no blessing without community. The blessing of God is only available in the community of God. To be separate from the community of God is to miss the blessing. That's why sometimes we can't explain to people why we go to church. It's because there's a blessing that happens here that we can't get on our own. And it's because we can't apply the Beatitudes and live this way without one another. You see, we come in like dirty laundry. And we get thrown together. And the Word of God is opened. It's not open when I stand up. It's open as soon as we start service. That's why we begin with the call to worship, so that it is the Word that begins to speak. And when we sing songs, those songs were written on the Word of God, and the Word of God begins to speak. And you know what the Word of God does? It starts cleansing us. But guess what? It only cleanses us because we're all together. And so each other's dirt starts to hit each other. And it breaks it loose. And it starts to cleanse. And it starts to purify. And then it blesses. You see, we don't cover up each other's stains. We rub against one another until we smooth each other's stains out. We don't exist to bring one another comfort. We exist to bring one another change. It's in the change of becoming more like Christ that we find comfort. But if the blessing comes through the community of God, then the community of God should be the blessing. If the community of God is the blessing of God, then the blessing of God should come through the community to the world. The only way the world can get God's blessing is through the church. The only way. So when we pray things like, God bless America, I think He says, no, the church, you go bless them. And you do it in my name. Here's the difficulty. I dare you. I'll just clear the calendar now because you'll have all kinds of appointments you'll want to come in this week and need to talk about it. I dare you to try this week. Truth is, we'd probably all be out of a place to live and a place to go to work and a place to go to school if we live it out. So I guess we'll just have to move into the church. Hopefully we can raise enough to pay all our bills for a while. Because you know what happens when we do this in the world? We're like sandpaper. We're rough. And we're against the grain. And nobody understands our purpose. That is until the sandpaper starts to work. And it takes those people who are prideful and it starts to help them become humble because they see a way of humility. It takes people who are angry all the time and want to act out on violence and they start seeking the way of peace because they see one who is peace among them. And we just start to work. And we rub it down. until the community of the world starts to reflect the community that God blesses, because the community that God has blessed is blessing the world. May I give you a warning? You know what happens to sandpaper over time? It wears out. You know what you got to do? Get a new sheet. Take it off your block. Put it off. Throw it away. And get a new piece. It's detoxing. It's detoxing. Some are in this place and you just feel like you have no purpose. Oh, you have a purpose. See, in verse 11 and 12, he starts to say singular, blessed are you. Rejoice and be glad because great is your reward. There's place for you in the community of God. There is place for you in God's blessing. You are welcome. You are invited in. And for those who have come in, make sure we're still making a difference. Make sure we haven't wore out. Make sure we haven't lost sight of our purpose, which is not primarily one another. It is primarily the world and the community. And when we come back and we put off the old self and we put on the new self, we go back into the world to be a blessing to the world. And we start asking different questions in our church, not about what can we do or what do we want, but we go to the community and say, what do you want? We don't change who we are. We don't change the Word of God. What do you need that the community can't provide? And we'll do that. I don't like this series already. Church, we are blessed. Not because of what we have done, but because Jesus, who is all these things, stands in our midst. And He makes us into these things through His church, of which I am thankful.